Retail sales and jobs, let's do the numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A couple of economic indicators out this morning. Retail sales came in for the month of June, and it's not looking so good. Target, Costco, The Limited all saw sales fall dramatically. Diane Swonk is the chief economist for Mesirow Financial in Chicago. She joins us live. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
So retail not looking so good in June. Is this about what we expected?
Unfortunately, it is. You know, the job situation is still deteriorating. Main Street's still struggling, and gas prices are high, so the discretionary income is squeezed. That said, it does look like we don't have Walmart, the biggest player out there. They're not reporting anymore, and same-store sales don't necessarily reflect overall spending. Overall spending is likely to be pretty close to flat, maybe up a little bit in the second quarter. Nothing to write home about after the sharp contractions we saw in the second half of last year. So this is still an economy where people are looking for the biggest bang on the buck, trading down the retail food chain, and really changing their spending behaviors quite dramatically from what we saw earlier in the decade.
Well, speaking of not spending so much, the other big number out this morning, weekly jobless claims, they came in 565,000 people filed for unemployment benefits last week. Apparently, this is good news. Came in better than expected.
It's lower unemployment claims than we saw the week before. That's good news, and we finally cracked that 600,000 mark. That said, what it means is that the pace of layoffs out there is slowing. It's not stopped, and we certainly don't have any people doing any major hiring out there. In fact, the number of people on continuing unemployment has gone to a record high. So if you're out there looking for a job, the situation is still there's more people in line in front of you this week than there was last week, even though the pace at which the number of people are entering the unemployment ranks is slowing.
Diane Swonk is chief economist for Mesirow Financial. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
And the markets are liking those job numbers this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up just a hair, less than a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is up a quarter of a percent to 1751. The S&P 500 up a tenth of a percent to 880. British police have launched an inquiry into one of Rupert Murdoch's newspapers. Reporters there are being accused of hacking into people's cell phones to get scoops. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The Guardian newspaper claims that a Murdoch paper was engaged in a massive and illegal invasion of privacy and then tried to cover it up. The Guardian alleges that Murdoch's News of the World paid private investigators to eavesdrop on public figures. Among the alleged targets, the actress Gwyneth Paltrow and two cabinet ministers. Here's Guardian reporter Nick Davies speaking on British TV.
I'm told that that targeting consisted of hacking into their mobile telephones. And if so, that's very serious. But those are being offered as examples, among many others, of the breadth of this activity.
He says that between 2,000 and 3,000 people may have had their cell phones hacked into. The Guardian reports that Murdoch's company tried to conceal the abuses. It says the company has already paid some of the targets more than $1.5 million in confidential out-of-court settlements. Rupert Murdoch says he's not aware of any such payments. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, July 9th on Marketplace.org. You've probably heard that California is now issuing IOUs in the place of cash, about $3 billion worth this month. But now some of the country's biggest banks are saying they're not going to accept them. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The banks include big names like J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, all recipients of multi-billion dollar federal bailouts. The move could leave businesses and families in the lurch. As lawmakers haggle over the budget, California is using the IOUs to pay private contractors, local governments, and people getting tax refunds. The IOUs carry an annual interest rate of 3.75% and would be paid out in October. Until now, banks have been willing to exchange them for cash. In essence, the banks are offering an emergency loan to the state. Banks say if they bolt, that would force California to get its fiscal act together. But it would also leave Californians fewer ways to cash out their IOUs. People would likely resort to other venues, like online sites that would pay less than face value. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
You might know the Shriners as those guys who wear fezes and drive funny little cars in parades. But they also provide free health care to children through a couple dozen specialized hospitals. Financial troubles have hit the Shriners hard, and the group will decide today whether to close some of its facilities. Alisa Roth reports.
The Shriners hospitals only treat a handful of problems, like severe burns. They pay for the treatment with donations and an endowment. But Shriners' membership is falling. They're not raising as much money as they used to, and the stock market's shrunk the endowment. Mark Watisha tracks healthcare for the consultants Kurt Salmon Associates. He says Shriners hospitals are small. Some have as few as 10 beds. It just costs too much to equip them with the latest technology and to staff them with specially trained workers.
The scale issue has become important in pediatric medicine, and we've seen children's hospitals tending to get a little bit larger.
No matter what happens today, Shriners hospitals probably won't disappear completely. Many are already affiliated with larger institutions, and Watisha says Shriners hospitals will likely just end up getting absorbed by them in the future. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Chevron reports its second quarter earnings today. We all know gasoline prices have edged upwards in recent months, but that doesn't guarantee big profits for Chevron or its competitors. That's because speculators have been pushing crude prices up, even higher, it seems, than the market can bear. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Oil price speculators don't just pump money out of our wallets. They've apparently been skimming profits off the big oil companies, too. Industry analyst Stephen Shork says gas and diesel prices don't follow oil in lockstep, especially if drivers and factories aren't buying.
Prices there are more linked to actual supply-demand cost drivers in the market, whereas the crude oil market tends to be more susceptible to speculative runs, and that's exactly what we saw at the beginning of this year, is that speculative run, and hence we've got the tightness in the margins.
Shork explains that's what's crimping quarterly profits, the difference between the price they have to pay for crude going in and what they're able to charge for the refined product going out. This summer's rising pump prices didn't make up for the difference. Only a year ago, the oil companies could still bank huge profits selling crude, but now Shork says all sides of their operations are hurting.
Bottom line, this is going to be a very ugly year for the oil business. We're not going to hear anything about windfall profits.
Of course, on the heels of their biggest profits in history, they're not likely to find many wells of sympathy. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
One major oil producer is under the microscope today. Equatorial Guinea is a tiny country on the west coast of Africa. It's the fourth largest oil producer in sub-Saharan Africa and supplies the U.S. with as much as 100,000 barrels of oil every day. A new report from Human Rights Watch says government officials there are squandering the revenue from all that oil, leaving most of the country's citizens impoverished. Gretchen Wilson reports.
Equatorial Guinea discovered huge offshore oil reserves in the early 1990s. Since then, GDP has increased more than 5,000%. Per capita earnings are greater than in Italy, Monaco, or Saudi Arabia. But Human Rights Watch says the country's 500,000 people haven't seen that wealth. In fact, things like infant and child mortality have actually increased over the last 20 years. Arvind Ganeshan is the director of the group's Business and Human Rights Program.
But at the same time, government officials like the president and his family have enriched themselves off the oil wealth of the country.
Most investment in Equatorial Guinea's oil industry comes from U.S.-based firms. Ganeshan says that gives the U.S. a lot of leverage.
The Obama administration has a real opportunity to start dealing with some of the human rights and corruption problems that plague a country like Equatorial Guinea.
He says one suggestion is an SEC rule that would require oil companies to disclose how much they pay to governments. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Faced with shrinking profits, many companies are looking for ways to cut back on expenses. Some employers are eliminating perks as a way to save money. But as Alex Cohen of member station KPCC reports, many bosses do so at their own peril.
Gen X is a digital marketing company in Southern California. It's home to about 150 employees. Many take advantage of a perk that allows them to bring their dogs to work. Luke, a black lab mix, is here with employee Bob Thorpe.
He loves going up front to the reception desk and greeting people.
Gen X also has a kitchen stocked with complimentary cup noodles, a cereal bar, and an espresso machine, so employees can save both money and time. But lately, says company founder Walter Shields, business has slowed at Gen X.
We've definitely had clients delay projects or reduce budgets. We've even had a few projects canceled.
And so Shields has made some changes. Gone are perks like company cruises, and he switched the cereal to a generic brand. Lately, plenty of business owners have been cutting perks, getting rid of everything from free soft drinks to the company cleaning service. The Canadian beer company Molson recently adjusted its free beer benefit.
They reduced the number from 72 dozen beers per year to 52 dozen, and people were quite upset about this.
Wharton professor Nancy Rothbard says perks can foster a sense of loyalty to a company, and they can increase worker productivity.
Free gourmet meals sounds very luxurious, but if you want to keep your employees close to their offices, then keeping them present is really going to potentially enhance their productivity by increasing the time that they can spend on their work.
Rothbard says if companies must cut back, she recommends adding other benefits that are free or lower in cost. Back at Gen X, company founder Walter Shields couldn't agree more.
I have found the incentives that are monetary are not as important for many people as the soft benefits that a company can offer.
After all, in Southern California, bringing the dog to work can mean opting out of doggy daycare, and that can save an employee about $700 a month per pooch. In Los Angeles, I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
Leaders from all over the world are meeting in Italy today for the Group of Eight summit. Some G8 leaders are saying enough already about government stimulus. Countries like the U.S., France, and Germany have pumped $2 trillion into the global economy since the recession began. For his part, President Obama told G8 leaders we should remain open to more stimulus money. Probably not too surprising, seeing as how we got word earlier this week about the possibility of more stimulus from Uncle Sam. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Apparently, $787 billion just doesn't buy what it used to. Why do we need more stimulus?
The job market continues to deteriorate, and that is raising concerns that maybe we need to do more. Laura Tyson, who was head of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Clinton, she said we may have to think about this. Paul Krugman, a New York Times columnist, Nobel laureate, he's written, look, I know the politics are hard, but this is what we're really going to have to do. And they're all justifying it under a date. 1937?
Well, yes. I mean, people are always comparing our situation now to the Great Depression. Are we nearing that scale of government intervention?
Well, it partly depends on how you look at it. I mean, the government intervention in the 1930s was stunning. Things were going so well. They raised taxes and reduced spending. The economy was too weak, and we went back into a recession. So that's why there's a very smart group of people who are arguing we don't want a repeat of 1937. We don't want to be tightening up too early. And in fact, we may even want to be more aggressive with more fiscal stimulus.
Well, isn't there a risk with all this government money floating around in the economy that we could have really bad inflation? I mean, that seems like a reasonable worry.
Perhaps 10 years from now or 5 years from now. But right now, the bigger worry really might be deflation. I mean, forget 1937. How about Japan? You know, Japan, they flooded their system with money. They had 0% interest rates. They sort of had some fiscal stimulus, and then they do a little more fiscal stimulus, and they fell into a deflation. And essentially, Japan went nowhere for well over a decade. So that's the fear. Now, I'm a little bit of an optimist. I think you probably figured that out, right, Stacey? I mean, I am an optimist. But here's my fundamental belief. I don't think there's any stomach in Washington for another fiscal stimulus plan. I think that what the word is going to be, let's give the one that we have time to work. They only spent about 10% of the money anyway. So let's give that time. Ben Bernanke is smart. He's a student of the Great Depression. And The Fed is not going to worry that much about the exit strategy, and I think the Fed will continue to be aggressive. So that's why I'm not that worried about a repeat of 1937.
Chris Farrell is Marketplace's economics editor. Chris, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks a lot. It was fun.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.